If you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8. And we're going to take a look at the doctrine that we've been going over for the past few months now. And what we're looking at is we're looking at the sanctification, our sanctified walk as we live as sons and daughters in Christ. So if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Let's take a look at verse 26. Let's start there. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And what we're going to do later on is look at the whole issue there. When Paul says, according to, he says, according to the will of God, and then he says, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So you see what's in view there. You see the will of God is in view, and also his purpose is in view. But this is pertaining to how we ought to live our lives, how our minds ought to be, what ought to drive our heart and drive our minds, what we ought to be led by. When we're led by the Spirit, which is his word, you are going to understand you're going to be doing things according to his will and according to his purpose, regardless what Christianity teaches you today, regardless what you were involved in. You know that it's about his will and it's about his purpose. For most of the time, we see people teach and preach according to the will of the pastor. Or doing things according to our purpose. And when we do that, we find ourselves following right in line with what Satan wants us to do. Satan wants us to live our lives according to the course of this world. And that's what people in Christendom have done. We have teachers, preachers, bishops, popes, whoever. They go to these schools and they teach them how the saint ought to walk or the person ought to walk according to the way that the church deems necessary. And when they say the church, they don't mean the body of Christ. Because if they did, they do it according to the will of God. They do it according to his purpose, not their purpose. And no one will say that they're not doing it according to the will of God or according to God's purpose. But we have to look and understand that it has to be completely by what his word tells us, to us today, being Gentiles in this dispensation of Gentile grace that we live in. So also, if you will, can you turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2? Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to take a look at what's being said here about the son. And again, when you're looking at Proverbs chapter 2, when you look at the Proverbs, as I said before, you're looking at an interdispensational book. This is a father-to-son teaching, which is for our learning. It's an example for us. And oftentimes, Paul himself comes, our apostle, he says, as it is written. When you look at Romans, the book of Romans, you can't get out of the first verse without Paul explaining, saying, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, separated onto the gospel. And you see that, you see the dispensational difference right there. But Paul also talks about as it is written, or by the commandment of the Father. But without any ado, further ado there, let's Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Let's take a look at verse 1 there. Proverbs 2, verse 1. My son, and again, this is father-to-son training here. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. So you see what's taking place here? This is about the son doing something, and it won't get done unless he does the things listed in verses 1 through 5. And we're going to see a little bit in verse later on down here, but what I want to do is just amplify on what's being said there. In verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words. And that's the first thing a saint or son ought to do. And when you receive something, you don't allow it to go in one ear or out the other ear. You receive it. You receive it, and you hide. See, that says, hide my commandments with thee. That's the commandments of his father. And we give our children commandments. We let them know the law of our house. It ought to be based upon God's word. But we give them, we want them to receive our words. We want them to hide what we told them, where it can't be replaced with anything else, where if you hide something within you, it's almost as if you're policing yourself from it, where you don't know where it's at to get rid of it. It's going to stay within you. You're not going to be able to replace it with anything because it's always going to still be there. Verse 2, so that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Now you see that the son is now, thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. When you incline something, you take center on that, and you hone in on it. You hone in on it, and you get tunnel vision concerning it. Thou incline thy ear unto wisdom. That way, what's being said here is that the son would be able to gain that wisdom by listening and by wanting. Having an earnest zeal to get wisdom. And notice the next part of the verse here, and apply thine heart to understanding. You can get the wisdom. You can say, okay, I want to hear it. I'm ready. Give it to me. And you're sitting there just, you can't wait to hear it. And then, but you have to also, next step, apply thine heart to understanding. Have your heart be able to get that understanding and suck it up, take it in, where your heart is enlarged. The more understanding you get with wisdom, it gets larger and larger and larger. Verse 3, yea. He says yea because it's to say, yes, yeah, of course. If thou criest after knowledge, and that's when we see Paul talk about crying Abba Father. Christ after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. Same thing here, same concept, but only you see how that was pleasant unto your soul when you got verse 2, when you inclined your ear to wisdom and you applied your heart to understanding. Now, you see how good that is unto you. You have that proper understanding of how it affects the Father when he sees that you're inclining your ear onto it. You want it, and you apply your heart to it. Now you're going to cry after knowledge, and you're going to lift up your voice for understanding. This is how a son ought to do. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, that's how bad you ought to want it, because it is hid treasures. It's hidden until you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart unto understanding. And that's how we ought to look upon it. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And you're going to find the knowledge of God and understand the fear of the Lord when you cry to the Father. When you cry after knowledge, you want to be educated. Lifting up your voice for understanding. And that doesn't only include prayer. That includes the Son. The Son, the crying of Abba Father. We know the Lord was in prayer when he cried Abba Father unto the Lord. We know that's truth there. When Paul tells us about crying Abba Father, he doesn't talk about the prayer aspect until later on, verses later. Verse 5 here. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Now, the knowledge and understanding is going to come based upon the Son's understanding. And his understanding he's going to be able to gain that knowledge and understanding, which is something that we ought to find out what the Lord has for us in his will and his understanding there. So let's come back down to, we're in Proverbs here. So Proverbs chapter 2, let's come down to verse 7. And, well, let's just read the verses and I'll comment on that later. Proverbs 2, verse 7. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. No. Let's stop there. See, that's his preserved word. When it says he layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Hey, we have that laid up for us. He is a buckler. A buckler is like a shield to them that walketh uprightly. And that's what happens when you use God's word properly. You know, God's not going to shield you from your problems, but what happens is we're given a doctrine to endure them. He keepeth the path of judgment. He preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And you see, verse 8, it says, he keepeth the path, plural, of judgment. Well, there's many ways to judge things. There's judging things, as Paul says in Romans 12, he talks about us proving what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Then you can also judge things that excel one another. Then you can judge things that are excellent or more excellent. There's different paths. And he says, then, verse 9, then shalt thou understand right. And when you're doing those things there, for what's being said from Proverbs 2, 1 all the way down through 8, he says, then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. And we're going to go through all those issues of the righteousness and judgment and equity and the wisdom, all them things. We're going to go through those later at a later time. But right now, we're going to look at just the matters at hand here that pertains to the verses here. Verse 10: when wisdom enter into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. And see, this is what we looked at earlier about the wisdom and how it says, crying after knowledge and or incline thy ear unto wisdom. Now you see in verse 10, when wisdom enter into thine heart, because his ear was inclined unto wisdom and his heart was inclined unto understanding. Now he has an understanding of this wisdom. And knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Now, the discretion there is something that you're going to understand how to be discreet. You're going to understand how to walk. You're going to understand how to be kept. You know? And again, when you're looking at this, this is about the Son doing something here. You notice, it says discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man and from the man that speaketh forward things. This is now the Son being able to do something based upon God's word. It's about the Son being preserved and kept by the doctrine. Notice this, you got to see that this is even in Israel's program. It wasn't about God giving them his knowledge when they had his word, when they were able to get to his word. They had his scriptures. And they were able to turn to his scriptures to lead them on the right path. Now, let's take a look at something here. Let's look at the whole issues here of how God maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And, you know, I like to amplify back on the Proverbs here, but we're going to look at that another time. And when we look at that, we're going to be viewing that based upon the father-to-son relationship a little more. And we're not at that point yet. So come back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, let's take a look at the verses we were looking at the outset there. Romans chapter 8, let's take a look at verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. But we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. The one after is verses 27 and 28. And as you see here, you see that according to the will of God and according to his purpose. See, sons in Christ will allow their sanctified lives to be driven by his word alone and find out what his word has to say about all our circumstances. Because when we look at things, the intercession needs to be made for us when we face anything in our life. It doesn't matter what it has to do with. It could have to do with the neighbor's son hitting the baseball through your window, and how you would judge that, how you would respond. It ought to be according to the will of God. And anytime you think of anything that has troubled you, whether it's been to 1% degree or 1,000% degree, you have to look at how you are to judge that matter based upon the will of God, based upon his purpose. Because God's purpose and his will can be done in whatever you're going through. And I'm going to give you a little, we're going to run through some examples of how Paul himself or the other saints went through their circumstances, whether it was people troubling them, whether it was, we've heard people say, well, you know, God doesn't like ugly, or you don't want to bother one of God's anointed, or as if God's going to get you back or get that person back, you know, or if you're walking, the ones that are walking faithful enough that they deserve to be delivered from bad things to happen to them. People think their pastors are supposed to live a lavish life, have the biggest house in the congregation or the biggest car, or have a bank account larger than anyone else because they're to be considered supposedly the most faithful. Now, these are things we're going to look at here and how we are to do things according to the will of God and according to his purpose. And then if we can get a good understanding about his purpose and his will, the Father's will and the Father's purpose, then maybe we can understand how to allow, when we suffer, how we can do that also according to his will and his purpose. Now, come to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15, let's take a look at verse 1. Romans 15, verse 1. And this is talking about the the weaker brethren issue. And when you're dealing with the weaker brother issue, you're dealing with doctrine that is explained from Romans 13, the end of Romans 13, all the way until this point here. And it's dealing with weaker brethren who are ones that have been established or founded in the proper doctrine, but they're just operating upon milk right now. This isn't Christian denominations. That's not what this is about. They are not the weaker brethren. Because we got to understand, most are not even justified. Most operate upon justification by their own works. Most of them do not even understand how to be saved by grace through faith alone. And most would look upon them as being weaker brethren, or even the ones that are justified. They're still not the weaker brethren. They are part of the body of Christ, but they're operating upon a doctrine. They're ones that Paul says, those that oppose themselves, or ones that have turned aside after Satan, because they're living their whole sanctified life according to this world. Even if you look at them and say, oh, that person doesn't curse, drink, smoke, they listen to church music, they seem pretty upright to me. Yeah, but it's not about what the outer man is doing. It's about, you see this in Proverbs, it's about the heart and their mind. It's about what their heart and mind is operating upon. It ought to be operating upon God's will. We see the Buddhist. The Buddhist can be some of the most earthly loving people. Wouldn't hurt a fly. But they're Christ rejectors. They're going to face the wrath and punishment of God for their rejecting of his son, for their sins, because they do sin. So to say that was a long commercial there. This is talking about the weaker brethren, and this is ones that are being established upon sound doctrine, but they're just taking milk right now. Verse 15 of chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. And notice what Paul says here, and not to please ourselves. But who we ought to please? Verse 2. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. And let me stop there, because looking at this here, this saint is a more mature saint, the Romans 15 saints. He understands already that he ought to please God. But also, pleasing God would be pleasing his neighbor. And pleasing his neighbor would be valuing and esteeming his neighbor above him, his own self. That you would prefer your neighbor to get edification more than you would. Of course, you're going to want it yourself. You're going to want to seek after it. But you're going to want them to value and esteem it more than you do. You're going to want that edification for his good to edification, not just for his good to take him out fishing or for his own purpose. No, for God's purpose. It's according to God's will. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, oh, there go Paul again saying, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell upon me. See what Christ understood is, Christ did the same thing that Paul is asking us to do. Well, not the same thing, but that example of giving up of himself for the good to our edification. And Christ knew that this was the only way to get this done for Gentiles, for twice dead Gentiles. And he says, Verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that we may with one mind glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I want to say this here. You see, before I get on the verse 5 there, do you see the example? Do you see how Paul uses the example, how we ought to live our life? See, this is what we're looking at. When you look at Romans 2, Philemon, this is your example in how you are to live your life, from milk to meat. This is a curriculum you're being taken onto. It's an exercise of studies. It's the same curriculum that the saints were taking on in Paul's day. Paul himself also followed the same milk to meat curriculum. When we see Paul, we're going to look at that 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul talks about through the abundance of revelation given unto him. Paul was given revelations, but he wasn't given everything at once. He was given a little at a time. Even though we can see what the Thessalonians had and the Galatians, the difference, even though it was the same amount of time, Paul was educated. Before Paul even wrote the first epistle, when you look at Galatians, give you for instance, when we look at Galatians, Paul says 17 years later, I went up to Jerusalem. So Paul is writing over 17 years later from the time when he became saved. So there was a process of Paul learning some doctrine too. And we have to keep that in mind. You have to keep that in mind when we are coming to the to God's word of truth. We can't just open it up and expect to read it anywhere we want to. You can't go to a bookstore and buy any book and just turn to this part and learn about that whole book from skipping through things. Now, again, let's get back to the verses at hand there. What I was after here is, you see how Paul says in verse 4, we'll go back to verse 4, Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written for aforetime, were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort, that we through patience and comfort, and that's the way we ought to live our sanctified life, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. There's that hope doctrine. It's that hope doctrine. As a matter of fact, we're looking at that hope. We talked about this, the hope, patience, and comfort doctrine, and consolation doctrine. Those are the four things we looked at, hope, patience, comfort, and consolation. A couple months back, we looked at that, about that's what you need to operate upon. Verse 5, note, now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another. How? According to Christ Jesus. See, that's having the mind of Christ. If you're like-minded one toward another, you're of the same mind. Now, if Paul just stopped there, you'd say, okay, we could be like-minded. Maybe we both like sports. Maybe we both like shopping. Maybe we both like just to travel or whatever. No, this is according to Christ Jesus. That he may with one mind, one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's telling you there how you'd walk accordingly, and that's according to Christ Jesus. Now, chapter 16 here, Romans 16, 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. Now to him that is Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You see how many times Paul says, according to. And he says this because the main focal point here is that the saint ought to be established by the gospel that Paul preaches. And that's what he's making known here. But not just the gospel he preaches concerning your justification, which is the good news of Jesus Christ, but the preaching of Jesus Christ in a certain way also, according to the revelation of the mystery. Because Peter and James and John could say, hey, we're preaching Jesus Christ too. So what are you saying, Paul? Why do they have to, why should they listen to you only? Why should they be, why should your gospel be made known to all nations for the obedience of faith? Well, Paul is preaching according to the revelation of mystery, which had a different purpose. God kept here within himself, which was kept secret since the world began. And it says, but now it's made manifest, which it is. It was revealed unto Paul and by the scriptures of the prophets. See, what he's saying here, he's saying that what we have in Paul's 13 books is now being made known unto us. That's what we're to be established by. Also, we're supposed to be established, and it says, and by the scriptures of the prophets. And didn't we see earlier how that Romans chapter 15, how that whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning through patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. So what you're seeing here is that doctrine according to Revelation mystery is now made manifest, and that's what we're supposed to be established by, and established by the scriptures of the prophets. You that is for your learning according to the commandment of the everlasting God. This is how God would have it be made known. This is his command. That's what this is all according to. It's not Paul's understanding. It's not Paul coming along saying, yeah, I think you guys ought to go from this course of doctrine here. I think maybe you ought not read Hebrews or, no, this is according to God's commandment that we be established in this way. And the end of the verse, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. This is how our obedience, this is how we ought to walk. This is doctrine we're to be obedient unto, which is the gospel Paul preaches about Jesus Christ according to the revelation of mystery. I feel you know that. I just wanted to amplify on that subject in case we have some listeners who were just joining us for the first or second or haven't been with us long. Now come over to 2 Timothy. Come over to 2 Timothy, and let's look at chapter 1. And again, we're looking at how we're to do things according to God's will. How we're to be established according to his purpose. And 2 Timothy. And let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us for a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, when Paul's saying God has not given us the spirit of fear, that's our inner man being filled with fear. That's our spirit being filled with fear, not there's some spirit roaming about out here and then it overcomes us, or that's not what's being spoken of here. But of power, and the power is in that word. We're going to see that later on, next couple of verses. That power is his word there. And what would happen on the cross, the gospel, of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. See, what most people look at, and I said it before and I'll say it again, when we look at the 2 Timothy 2:15, when it says study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman in need of not to be ashamed. When you see that word ashamed, that ashamed is not just saying that, I don't know Paul. Paul's being ridiculed and I don't want to be associated with him. Or, I know the gospel, but I don't want to preach it. I'm afraid people might not. I'm ashamed people might think that I'm, not bringing it across properly. No, that's not what it's talking about. It's doing it. It's talking about fear. There's fear. Remember, verse 7 says fear. I'm going to give you an example. You remember when the Lord told Peter that he's going to deny him 3 times? And Peter said he didn't even know him. Matter of fact, he cursed the last time and swore he never knew him. That's the same thing as being ashamed. That's what Timothy was doing here. Timothy was balking at preaching the word because he had the spirit of fear with it. Within himself, he was full of fear. And Paul says, ashamed. Matter of fact, hold your place there. Let's come over to Philippians. Come back to Philippians there. Hold your place there. We're going to continue on that. Let's come over to Philippians. Let's look at chapter 1. Let's look at verse 13. We're running out of time here. Verse 13. Wow. Let's look at verse 14. And many other brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are more bold to speak the word without fear. And you see here, they were looking at the fact that Paul was in prison. But they were looking at the fact that Paul's in prison. Because he was in prison, they were much more bold because of that to speak the word without fear. And you would think it would turn the other way. People would be afraid. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. To one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, but supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therein I do rejoice, yea, I will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ Jesus, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with that with all boldness as always, so now always Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or my death. Now, looking at this here, matter of fact, just come on down. We're going to come on down to verse 28, where Paul says here, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. See, now you can, let's turn back to, come back to Thessalonians, Titus, Timothy, where we were. And you see the issue of that fear that they were, that these guys were, there was a shame Paul talked about, and that salvation, that was salvation from being ashamed, salvation from having that spirit of fear. The same thing Timothy needed here. And Paul was giving him that, he's giving him that doctrine. And he's telling them in verse 8, he says, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And you notice he says, yeah, I'm just, you know, don't be ashamed of me either. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. Be partakers. Be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And he says, who has saved us, he's telling them why. And he's going to say, I'll just read it here. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And you notice, he's explaining to Timothy, look at what all this God has done for you. And he did that. He did it for you not according to your works. That's not why he did this. But according to his own purpose and grace, which is given us, this is before the world, before you even thought about, you were even born. And he says, but this is according to his own purpose and grace, not ours. It was according to Timothy's, which Timothy, at that time, Timothy was a very faithful pastor at that time. He was living very faithful. But he was told to be partakers of the afflictions. Now let's come over to Titus. We'll run out of time. Let's come over to Titus. And let's look at chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Let's look at verse 4. But after that, the kindness of and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, excuse me, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto all men. Now, look at this here again. This is the same thing we've seen with Timothy. Titus is being told that God is doing something against, did something for us. And he didn't do it because the good works of righteousness we did. Because remember, this was before the world that he made a foreknown plan to give us his grace, even though his son had not died yet. Not by the works of righteousness we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewed of the Holy Ghost. And notice it says here that in verse 7, that being justified by his grace, and this is what you should understand. You should come to understand this and say this, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, that's what we're doing here. Verse 5 and verse 7. Verse 5 says, but according to his mercy, he saved us. And then verse 7 says, We should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is what God, this is about God's will and his plan. And this is how this is a saying that we ought to have, as verse 8 said, this is a faithful saying. And it's anytime you see a faithful saying, this is something that you ought to say. You ought to remember this. This is something you ought to keep in mind. And just as some do when they remember the gospel songs they read every Sunday, or music or whatever. But this is something we ought to say and keep in mind. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that thou affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful, meaning full of care, to maintain good works. Now let's look at an example of of living our life according to the will of God. We're going to look at some examples at that. And I know we're running out of time here. Because we understand Paul uses himself as an example for us. And he does this so we'll know how to look at our infirmities when we go through them. And actually, we will. We must understand and appreciate the necessity to view our infirmities the same way Paul learned to view them. Remember, this, we're going to read here, as a matter of fact, turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And see, this thing happened to Paul 14 years before he even wrote the epistle. So we don't know how long it took Paul to finally learn to glory in all his infirmities. See, this doesn't happen overnight. But see, it's the first step. The first step is knowing the difference between the Lord's will and knowing the difference between our will or man's will for us. Remember, this is something that we have to come to understand. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and let's look at verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 5. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I would say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or heareth me to be, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'll rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distressions for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now, in seeing this here, you see how what's being said here, that Paul learned how to deal with this doctrine. A mature saint learns how to walk effectually, how they ought to walk. And they learn to do it based upon his will, not ours. And this is what we also ought to come to understand, because it's vital in understanding this. Looking at verses seven through ten, we see how Paul learned to understand these things. And he now takes pleasure in his infirmities. And see, we're going to also take a look at how the mature saint, how he uses this doctrine, how he walked. And notice, God does not bail these saints out of their sufferings. These saints that you're going to see, and we're going to be looking at, matter of fact, turn to 1 Thessalonians, and we're going to take a look at how these saints walked. And these are ones who were allowing God's word to work effectually within them. They were doing this the way God designed. And God wasn't bailing those saints out of their problems. He wasn't delivering them from their infirmities. And do we think that God loves us any different? No. God views all members of the body of Christ in the same capacity. 1 Thessalonians, let's look at chapter 3. First Thessalonians chapter 3. Let's look at verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we were appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter hath tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus has come from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have a good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you all in all our affliction and distresses by your faith. And what I'm after here is, you see these saints here? These are saints that Paul is commending. Paul is glorying in these saints. He's looking at these saints and saying, man, these guys, we are ones who are moved by your faith. We're glorying in your faith. And he says here, verse 2 and 3, he says, verse 3 and 4, he says, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. And they were going through the same thing. But you see the maturity there. You see the maturity of the saints and how the saints are still allowing themselves to walk the way God would have them to walk. And this is something very important to come to understand. So let's come to 2 Thessalonians now. Let's come down to 2 Thessalonians now. 2 Thessalonians, let's look at chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Let's look at verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. I'm going to stop there. You see how Paul is glorying in these saints? Paul is glorying in these saints' faith. Their patience. They're operating upon that patient doctrine, which is a manifold. And, you know, when you go through patient doctrine, when you're enduring something, that means you're going through it. You're not being delivered from it. These saints were operating not according to their will, because it wouldn't be their will that they would go through these tribulations. It's not that they couldn't pick up and move. They weren't in prison. Well, some were, but the ones he's writing to, these guys were a church. They were a church, and they were going through these things here. Verse 4 again, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. Notice it's all of them. It's not a hit or miss, as some say. Some will pray and they'll think that God is delivering them from their problems, and because things go their way 10% of the time, they feel that, well, you know, God's going to take care of some he might get around to if it's his will. But notice verse 5 here and 6. Actually, all the way down at verse 9 here, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. Now, if I stop there, you would get the understanding or think that, well, you know, as people say, God doesn't like ugly. He doesn't like when people put tribulation upon his saints or cause persecutions to his saints. But that's not what I'm going to keep reading here. Verse 7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. This is when it's going to happen. It's not going to happen now. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. That's what's going to happen. That's when it's going to happen. And notice verse 11 here. Wherefore always we pray, always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and to fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. And you see, you notice what's going on here? It's about the good pleasure of his goodness. And when God's going to recompense, he's going to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. It's going to be done in that day. It's not going to be done. God's not going to, some people say that, you know, God's going to recompense trouble to people as they go on about their lives and say, well, they're going through those things because you see what you see? See how God works? And that's not how God works at all. And that's what we need to, that's what we've been looking at here. We've been looking at this issue here about the will of God and how God's will, how we ought to be led according to his will and how his spirit makes intercession for us when we go through the things. And these Thessalonians here, they were going through the tribulation. They were operating upon patient doctrine. They were enduring it. But how did they endure it? They endured it by the Spirit's intercession, the Word intercession among them, God's Word. And that's that power, that doctrine, what these saints operate upon, and their faith was growing exceedingly because they were allowing their ear to be inclined unto wisdom. They were allowing their heart to be applied into the understanding. They were crying out, Father. And they were doing it based upon God's word. And this is what we ought to do also. This is what we've been going over. Now I'm going to close here. And what we're going to do next week, we're going to look at, we're going to finish this section up here. And then we're going to go through the issues here, like verse 28 here, where it says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we're going to look at that. We're going to start on that that part there, that verse there, verse 28, and then finish up. Look at a little bit of the intercession of how God's word steps in and makes intercession for you, but it only steps in when you take it and allow his word to intercede in what you believe and how you live out your sanctified life, because that's what it's based upon. You're going to go through tribulations and persecutions, but as you see these Thessalonians, they operate upon patient doctrine and they endured it, and you ought to also. And with that, I'm going to close and open things up for the Q&A session. And *61 will get you into the queue. *61 will get you into the queue. And again, it's about understanding how we are to look upon all of our circumstances in our life and apply the things that we're going through, our tribulations, our sufferings, our infirmities, our shortcomings, all those things we ought to view in just taking doctrine that, as Paul says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. The things which are seen are temporal. Things which are unseen are eternal. And that's operating upon some doctrine, knowing that it's all for far more exceedingly eternal weight of glory. These are doctrines that we have to allow to work effectually within us, so we also can operate upon hope, patience, consolation, and comfort when we suffer, when we need to know what to pray for as we ought, or when we need the intercession of his word to step into our life and lead us. as we are sons and daughters that are led by the Spirit. I'm going to go to the caller here, 3366, you're in the queue. 3366, you're in the queue.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you doing there, sister? How you been?
Oh, great, yourself. Yes. Just one quick comment and question on an infirmity that we don't know what to pray for. Do all saints go through persecution?
Well, all saints that are they're not going to go through the the sufferings of Christ. Persecution? No, not all saints. But all saints can be persecuted, whether they're a mature saint or whether they're a babe in Christ. They can face particular persecutions. And the persecution, I'm going to give you a little example here. When you're looking at the sufferings of this present time, yeah, you could be persecuted from just someone cutting you off in traffic. That can be a form of persecution, but it's not the persecutions of Christ that Paul talks about, the same ones they faced because of preaching the gospel. So only a mature saint, a mature son and daughter in Christ is going to face the persecutions of Christ, the sufferings of Christ.
Okay. Right.
Because you're going to be doing it based upon. Yeah, I'm glad you asked. That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked that. I can make that little distinction between the persecutions based upon the sufferings of this present time, which everyone faces, or the persecutions of Christ. So, yeah, only a mature saint, a mature son and daughter in Christ, is going to go through the sufferings of Christ and the persecutions of Christ. Yea, all that will of godly shall suffer persecution.
So mature saints, they're going to go through the suffering of Christ for being a saint and doing as God would tell them to do. And there's two different suffering for Christ. You can suffer Christ of yourself and suffering Christ for Christ.
Suffering
two different ones.
Yeah, you have the sufferings of this present time. The suffering of this present
time. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, is what everyone goes through, whether you're saved or unsaved.
Okay, I got you. Right.
Yeah, but the sufferings of Christ is going to be done based upon doctrine, either based because you're trying to put the things of this world off, and you're suffering in doing that, or even if you're preaching the doctrine and you're facing sufferings and persecution because of that.
And if people don't like you, people don't want to be around you, and all different kinds of sorts of things.
Exactly.
They know the difference.
Think you're crazy.
Like that. Yeah, right. A lunatic is right. Okay. I thought that's what it means. I thought that's what it means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
okay.
yes, it does. Thank you for that. I appreciate that.
I appreciate you, and I'm glad I get that on a clear phone to answer questions and better than on my YouTube and everything, because I hadn't heard from you talk a while of the common question. But I'll be listening, tune in, but it just said YouTube be messed up. But I sure do appreciate you, Pastor Ron.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate you, too.
And your teaching. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Talk to you later.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that's something. That was a very good. I'm glad that was, I could amplify on that there, because we all that live godly shall suffer persecution, and we've seen as the Thessalonian saints were doing, they were suffering persecution. Timothy was suffering persecutions. They were going through the sufferings, but what they did is they allowed themselves to do that according to the will of God, not according to their own purpose or their own will. It was their own purpose, their own will. They could have just threw in the towel and ran away, went and lived somewhere in Arabia, somewhere and had a harem, whatever they wanted to do, live after this world. But they chose to live unto God as a soldier in Christ, and we ought to also. And with that, I'm going to close. I want to thank everyone for listening to another Thursday night Bible study.